Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come into your presence to learn your word. And Father, we thank you that you are the best friend that we have. And Lord, we pray that you will teach us how to be the type of friend you want us to be from the Bible. So God, as we go through some principles, I pray that these are principles that we will use in our life. And also, Lord, be able to encourage other people to be good friends. I pray for especially the teens and the young people as they grow up. Father, there are so many distractions in this world. There are so many things in this world that sometimes pull us away from what is right. We pray that Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, will guide us, especially young people, that they will have strong Bible principles in their lives for making friends and being a friend. And then to know what to do when a friendship is broken, so that we can restore it by your grace. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, we just finished from last week. We were talking about some hindrances to friendship. I think we just go through again, just very quickly, all right? Just very quickly, snapshots again. Maybe this time I'll ask Brother Long, you can turn to Proverbs 16:28. And then Sister Grace can turn to Proverbs 18:12, I think. Sorry, I didn't properly. Let me just take a look. Proverbs 18:8, it's okay. Proverbs 18:8, Sister Grace. Okay. And then Sir Shaoling, if you can turn to Proverbs 17:9. And Joanna, you can turn to Proverbs 22:24. Okay, Brother June, if you can turn to Proverbs 13:10. And Timothy, Proverbs 25:17. And then Proverbs 18:19, we have Allison. Proverbs 18:19. Alright, then Leandra, Proverbs 17:1. Okay, so we just want to look at what are hindrances to relationships before we move on to today, how to initiate and how to restore broken relationships, alright? Okay? Proverbs 16:28. Yep, Brother Long, you can read that. Proverbs 16:28.
A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends.
Okay. Then Proverbs 18:8.
The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the body.
Okay. Based on those two verses, the first hindrance to friendships is gossip. Okay. Talking behind people's back, carrying a tale to someone which oftentimes is not true. Okay. With regards to people, in terms of friendship, generally when we tell stories about someone else, we always like to add salt and sugar, okay, to make it more more interesting, etc. Alright, so the first thing is, remember, if you want to break friendships, gossip. If you don't want to break friendships, then don't gossip. Alright, one of the things I've learned in my ministry and also generally with people, if there's nothing nice to say about someone, don't say anything. Just smile. Alright, just smile. Okay? It's very tempting because you know you want to make friends with people. Hey, you know about this person, that person. Sometimes it's best to just... Okay? Because the Bible teaches, do unto others what you want others to do to you. So if you want to talk about other people, you must allow other people to talk about you too. Okay? So that is the balance there. Alright, so remember the hindrance to friendships is gossip. Proverbs 17:9. Hey, Charlene? 17:9. Thanks. Proverbs 17:9. Another hindrance to friendship is. Okay, ma. Okay, the Bible tells us if you repeat the past, I think I shared last week that sometimes people would like to always bring up the past. One of the things that can get rid of family conflicts or even friendship conflicts is just choose, don't repeat what happened last time, just don't break up the past. And One thing I really learned from my pastor in Australia, one of the things that we need to learn as Christians is the past is the past. You can do nothing about the past. What can you do about the past? Yes, there may be pain, there may be some difficulties, there may be some consequences. But you know what? If you get a cut, you get a cut on your hand, and then you have to put like ointment, right? It doesn't help if you go in and dig up, go and open and go and poke the wound again. Does that make sense? In the same way, if something has happened in the past that hurts you, the fact that you keep talking about it means what you're doing is just keep digging the wound. And you keep digging the wound, more blood will come out, more problems will come out, more pain will come out. Okay? And it helps. Of course, initially in the healing process, you may need to actually pull out the wounds. Okay? You may need to actually pull out the wounds, clean up the place. But not after that, start doing the healing. And I've learned in ministry, especially in Christian ministry, if you find any hurting person, as a Christian minister, do this. As you talk to people, counsel with people, every time they rake up the past, you have to actually say, be quiet, but don't feedback about the past anymore. They say, what are you going to do now? Push the person to the present. Because you can, nothing you can do with the past, but it's something you can do about what you can do now. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, very important. Stick with the present. But if you keep repeating the past, the Bible says you will break the friendship. Now, unfortunately, some families just keep bringing up the past. Don't bring up the past. Just leave it in the past. The past is past. All right? Today and tomorrow, we can still change, but you cannot change the past. Okay, don't repeat the past. Next one, Proverbs 22, verse 24. Joanna? Okay, make no friendship with an angry man. Okay, how many of you have friends who are always angry? Probably in your mind you can think of people who are a little bit think of angry very fast. But actually that's not the main thing. With anger, is it a sin to be angry? Okay, who says it's a sin to be angry? We have a vote. Who says it's a sin to be angry? Put out your hand. Who says it's not a sin to be angry? Put out your hand. Okay, who don't know? Put out your hand. It's not a sin to be angry. I think we all know that. God gets angry. Okay? You know, then when does anger become a sin? When does anger become a sin? When you keep it. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Okay, this is something practical. We all struggle with this, I'm sure, sometime or another. Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 26, let's read together, right? Ephesians 4:26. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay? So in the ancient Gentile people during that time, they have this saying that you cannot keep your anger overnight. Alright? And so Paul uses that to teach us, don't keep your anger. You know why? Why shouldn't we? Why can't the guy did so much to me, you know, and he did all these wrong things? Why can't I keep my anger? Because if you keep anger, what does it become? It becomes sin. Alright? But with anger, after a while, you become bitter. Okay? You become bitter in your heart. Alright? Now what happens when you become bitter? Let's turn to Hebrews. God actually has this also written down for our learning. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 15, alright? Hebrews 12:15. Anger becomes sin. Yes, it becomes sin, but after that, the natural process, it leads to bitterness. You feel in your heart. You keep on telling yourself, this person has done this, this person has done this. 1 week later, this person has done this. 1 month later, this person has done this. It becomes bitter. Alright? Now what happens there? Verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. The root of bitterness always comes out from the heart. Alright? And what happens is, it troubles you, it also defiles your friendships. Have you ever met a friend who was angry with someone else? And then when you sit down for lunch with the person, the only thing he can talk about is what that person did to him. And you can see he's very angry and he's always saying, how can you do that to me and all that. You know, in those situations, you know what you need to do as a friend? Then you don't tell me, go and talk to him. But cannot talk to him, only him. Why are you going to talk to him? By telling me it's not going to solve the problem. And what happens is over time when you start to, what I use the word rehearse. Once you rehearse the thing again and again, you know what it does? It actually damages your spirit. You become very critical. When you look at things and people from a particular set of eyes, everyone is like that one. I know a mom who was very critical because of family and things like that. Right, it's not in this church, right? She's passed away. Even to the last few days before she died, she was so critical. She was in church camp. I was a leader there, and we had to kind of gently ask her, look, you need to just let it go, just forgive, just let it go. And she just can't let it go. And you know what? She had cancer, and at the end of her life, she was still bitter. In the last 4 days before she died, I went to the house to be an encouragement with some other friends. You could see that screaming and shouting, and she's a Christian. She's a Christian. And she went to her grave a bitter person. And, you know, it defiles the family, it defiles anyone that comes into contact with her. And you know, the only story she has to tell is whatever that's happened to her. Okay? So the bitterness comes out. Now the question is, why do people keep their anger? Why do people... Are we not as Christians able to overcome our anger? The clue of overcoming anger is found in verse 15, Hebrews 12. The Bible says, Paul says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Do you realize in every situation that you will get angry, God actually provides the strength and the grace to overcome that? Okay? Example, you know, sometimes you see in these movies, this one person and another person, one person say something, the person get angry, want to, like that, and then another friend comes and, don't do that, report him to police or something like that. There's that restraint, okay? There's actually that restraint. You realize that for us, God actually gives us grace to overcome. Because God knows that if you were to continue in that anger, it will eat you up from the inside and destroy your relationships. Okay? So that's why, you know what happens if you continue in your bitterness? What happens the next step? First thing is anger. Then you get bitter. You start defiling other people. And let's say you don't overcome. You know what happens the next step? You want to kill him. You want to kill the person. You do want to kill the person. You want to get rid of this person, remove him from the face of the earth. That's why, let's turn to Matthew 5. That's why Jesus actually had to say this in Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 22. Verse 21. Okay, I'll read. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Alright, if you kill, you will be in danger of judgment. So if you physically kill, the idea is, if you physically kill someone, you will be put before the Sanhedrin, the 72 elders, and they will pronounce a death sentence on you. Why? Because in the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses in the Hebrew economy, if you do that, the witnesses against you, the 72 elders say guilty as charged, they will bring you out and stone you to death. That's in the Old Testament. But what did Jesus say? Look verse 22. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a reason. Now the word cause there is a very interesting word. It means there is no Bible reason why you should be angry at a person. Because in the word cause, it refers to the Old Testament law. It refers to the Old Testament law of Moses. If I didn't do anything... Okay, if I didn't do anything, that have offended, for example, okay, the law of Moses dictates that if I steal from someone, I have to pay him back twice. Okay, if I hurt someone, I got to pay back the medical bills and make sure that he even pay. Do you realize in the book of Exodus, you actually have to pay back for lost earnings? In the book of Exodus, that's why today, you know, to go to law, this person had an accident, you got to pay back. Okay, but let's just say, I offended someone because I accidentally tear his Bible, and that's his favorite Bible. His Bible, the grandmother gave to him, and it's precious. It has nice paper, and accidentally tear it. Now, question for you is that in the Mosaic Law, is an offense to me? I've been wrong, but it wasn't. It's not in the law. That means, as far if you get angry at a person, you can say, "Hey, why you tear?" And if he apologizes, you're supposed to forgive him. However, if you say, "I'm angry with you because you did something that is not in the law," we are actually angry with a brother without a legitimate Bible reason. Does that make sense? Any questions? I need to mention that because we get offended over the littlest thing. The smallest thing. Okay. Why you never order my favorite food? Why you never cook my dish? Why you never hang the curtain in a certain way? Pastor John, yes, those in FBI often say this, that churches split over the color of toilet paper, you know. Churches split because of the color of toilet paper. Come on. Toilet paper is something you tear and then throw down. And churches can get split. You didn't listen to my opinion. And people get angry over that. The Bible says if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you will be in danger of the judgment. You know what that means? It means that when I get angry with my brother without a reason in the Bible, I am as good as someone who murdered someone and has stand before the Sanhedrin. And he will pronounce a judgment on me. Okay? When we understand, you know why Jesus made it like that? Because Jesus didn't just want to deal with the physical outward appearance of your action. Jesus wanted to deal with the heart. That's why it's harder to be a Christian. Did you know that? Without God's grace and God's word, it's harder to be a Christian. Because God requires us to change from inside. And so when you understand this, it's like, whoa, that means we get never angry. That's why we need to be living under the control of the Holy Spirit. We need God to control us. Okay, we need God to control us. But you know, you go on further. If you're angry without cause, you're in danger of judgment. If you actually call your brother wrecker, wrecker means a good for nothing. Why are you so silly? Have you seen that before? Why are you so stupid? Those words is wrecker. Come under wrecker. God calls, says, you'll be in danger of the council. But finally, if they doubtful, the word doubtful is totally good for nothing. I step you under my feet, get lost kind of thing, you know. Unfortunately, I was walking down, just minding my own business. I can hear on the second floor, this mother shouting at the side, "You're so stupid for nothing. 15 minutes, I teach you the maths, you don't know still right now." And it's like, whoa. Why, you know, poor boy is just kind of given. You know what God says? You're in danger of hellfire. You know why? Because how dare you despise, no matter how silly the person is, someone made in the image of God. Someone made in the image of God. That's, you know, sometimes you wonder, how come I just say thou fool, you should be in danger of hellfire? Because there's a reason. God says, how can you despise someone that's made in my image? Right? Okay? And so we need to be very careful. Christians don't have a bitter spirit. You know what? Offenses will come after, so we'll talk about that. But if you have a bitter spirit, I can guarantee you, that's the end of your friendship with that person. And it potentially can be the end of the friendship with many, many people too, if you carry that. Alright, let's move on. Alright, Proverbs 13 verse 10. Who has that verse? Is it Brother June? Okay? Proverbs 13:10. Any question, just stop me, alright? You don't agree? What if? Any scenarios? Proverbs 13:10.
Only by pride cometh contention, but
with the man of pride is wisdom. Okay, only by pride cometh contention. Okay? Let's make it very clear. Whether in the church anywhere. The reason why people fight is because of pride. And in the middle of pride is a big letter. Big letter what? I. And I want to win. And that's why I want to get into conflict. And therefore I. Alright? And so I'm very clear. And I hope all of us, you know, as God grows our church, remember, remove pride. Okay? Pride of anything. Okay? We must be willing to submit. We must be willing to follow and obey. We must be willing to esteem the other better than ourselves. The moment pride comes in, you'll find there's contention. And you know what? We cannot totally eradicate it because of human nature. Some people are just weak. But you know what? Pride. If we have pride in a relationship, very soon, people don't want to get along with you. Okay? The next one, Proverbs 25:17, Timothy. Okay, remove thy feet from thy neighbor's house. Alright, the principle is don't take advantage of someone's goodness. If someone else is very good to you, don't take advantage of that. Hello? Let's, as Christians, esteem the other person. If someone is really good to us, they're doing all their way, you know what, we need to kind of, oh, this person is doing so much, let me consider what I can give back so that, you know, there's that, you know, in Chinese, right, the give and take. You know, I give, and, you know, in friendship, we need to give and take. Some you take some, some you lose some, but you know what, it's all in the name of friendship, you know. Okay, it doesn't mean that, that's why sometimes I go out with a man, buy coffee for them, and say, don't worry about it. Sometimes I say, Pastor, don't worry, I'll buy for you. It's that, we need to have that, otherwise what kind of friends is that? It's just take to take. Remember, true love is giving. Okay? As a friend, we need to give. But you know what? It's also humbling for us to receive. Because some people are too proud to receive. You know that some people like that, especially some older ones, are, no, I cannot take one. I must give only. No. It is humbling to receive as well. It shows that you are not in charge all the time. That someone can actually bless you. Okay? I've had to learn that as pastor, and sometimes, you know what? You know, when the members give, I realize they give out of love, and so I accept that, and you know, there's that relationship that goes on. Okay, it's very, very important. Okay? But you know, don't take advantage of someone's goodness. If someone is good to you, do something back. You know, if you really don't have much, write a card, send an SMS, just, I really appreciate what you did today. I know I don't have much, but you know, I'll give you this soft toy or something like that. Just to say thank you. It's so important. Okay? As people give, remember they are sacrificing. So when you give back, you know what? It actually strengthens that relationship. Alright? So, but if we take advantage of people's goodness, the Bible teaches us to withdraw our feet. If you don't listen to the Bible, we will lose friends. Okay? The next one, and the last one, Proverbs 18 verse 19. Okay? This is a very important principle, and sometimes it's unavoidable. But the Bible does say here, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. If you offend a brother, you do something wrong to someone, whether, listen, intentionally or unintentionally. Because you never know what will offend that person, but you know, unintentionally, you say, I didn't mean it. But you know what? I've lost friendship just because I said certain things or did certain things which, like, I didn't know you offend him so much, and I don't even get to see him anymore. I don't even want to answer my handphone and all that kind of thing. It does happen, you know. I just have to learn, keep your big mouth shut, Johnny, sometimes. Don't say things. You don't have to say things. Okay? Because the Bible teaches us offenses. You know, let's turn to Luke 17 verse 1. I think it's Leandra's turn. Just read that one. Luke 17 1. Jesus told the disciples, it is impossible. Offenses will come. Why? Because we're all sinful. But Jesus actually put this warning. Please be very careful that it doesn't come from you. Offenses will come and we will be offended. But you know what? We're going to deal with how to deal with offenses afterwards. But, you know, we need to be careful that we are not the stumbling for someone else. In our words, our actions, our lifestyle, and sometimes the trend of our lifestyle stumbles someone. We need to be very careful. Our lifestyle must be governed by love. Not by our personal philosophy, our beliefs, okay? And so, offenses is the next one. You know, if we offend someone, and we say, well, that's, you know, have you heard that? That's just me, right? Well, that's just me, a big letter I again. You know what? You need to say, I've learned that when an offense is here, I'm very sorry. Even though in my mind, I can honestly tell you, I believe biblically what I did was the right thing. But still, those who know I was being put before. But you know what? We did write a letter. I think only Brother Talium was with us during that time where we had to actually deal with all this. We apologize for the lawyer helped us to draw. We apologize for the hurt feelings, but we still stand by what we believe. We apologize that we hurt you when we said that kind of thing, but you know what? We still stand by what we believe in the Bible. Okay? And so offenses will come, feelings will be hurt. And after this, in the service, I deal with, think about hurt feelings. Okay? But any questions on hindrances or friendships? You know, you want to be a good friend? Avoid all this. Okay? Alright, the next one we're going to go on to is how to initiate friendships. Alright? We just go through as quickly as we can. Stop me along the way. Alright, for those who just came in, it's in this. There's some more copies. Does everyone have this? Okay? How to... Okay. Initiating and restoring broken friendships. Okay, so just some points to note as we begin. Turn to Matthew 5. Some points to note before we start. Matthew chapter 5, just now we were there. Why don't you just, as you read this, Matthew 5, verse 23 to 24. The Bible says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother had aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. This gift is a once a year offering to God. If you understand the Jewish culture last time, what they did was, the Bible did say 3 times a year, all males must go to Jerusalem to offer their offering. But once a year, the offering of the atonement is to be given. Now this offering, it's a very special one because it's an atonement for the family and it's an offering that they give to God. Okay? But God says that before you even give an offering once a year, for your information, all the men who live in different parts of Israel must at a set time go to Jerusalem on that day. Okay? Yom Kippur. Okay, which is in October. Alright? And so what happens is, when you bring your gift there once a year to offer to God, it's very significant, very important for the Jew. But God said, if you come with that offering and remember that someone has something against you, I don't want that offering first. You go and settle that one first. You know what's that point there? Friendships are important to God. Or rather, relationships are important to God. Very important to God. Remember last week I talked about reconciliation, reconcile? Okay, reconciliation is very important to God. Our whole ministry and ambassador is reconciliation of men to God. And men to men as much as possible. Because that's what God is all about. Okay, God's relationship. You know, when God sent Jesus to die die for us, is to reconcile men to Himself. Because of sin, men were separated, but God wants us back. Okay? Firstly, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, 24, the Bible says friendship are important to God. And number two, you look at 24. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. Alright, listen to Matthew 18. These two passages is commonly used, all right, in dealing with relationship problems. And you will find that in Matthew chapter 5, let's turn to Matthew 18, but I just go back to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 is when you have offended someone. Okay, you have offended someone. Or you think someone has something against you. Alright? But in Matthew 18 is, in verse 15, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, then you are the offended one. Okay? In Matthew 5, you offended someone. In Matthew 18, hang on. Yeah. In Matthew 15, if thy brother trespass against thee, yeah. In Matthew 5, I offend someone. In Matthew 18, someone offends me. Does that make sense? So both ways, I'm involved. I offend someone in Matthew 5, but in Matthew 18, someone offends me. You realize both. There's one key word there. Let me read in verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. What's the key word in the two passages that we read? Matthew 5, 24 and Matthew 18, verse 15. The key word is the two word call. Go. Go. Can I say this? We need to be proactive when restoring friendships. It is the responsibility of every Christian, whether you are the offender or the offended, it is your responsibility to go. I say that again. Whether you are the offender or the offended, it is God's given responsibility for you to go. Remember, God was offended by our sin, but what did He do? He sent His Son to deal with that sin. He was proactive. Remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They ran and hide. Where was God? God was saying, "Hey Adam, where are you?" God was proactive. Do you think God knew that they've sinned? Absolutely, He knows everything, right? What did He do? "Adam, where are you?" You know, it's not like God to act blur. You know what God was trying to do? In one of the things about restoring relationships, what God often does, and that's what we need to do. If we are the offended, that means someone offends me, we need to encourage the other person to confess. The person must confess. Okay? God came to Adam and Eve and said, "Look, what have thou done?" Did God know what they did? But what did God say? "What have you done?" You know what Adam did? "The woman that you gave me, he was the one who asked me to eat the fruit." Push the blame. Alright, that was the beginning of blame and family conflict during that time. And it's still going on 6,000 years later. Alright? Okay, so be proactive. Remember, if in any broken relationships, if especially as Christians, God's responsibility is given on the Christian, whether you did the wrong or you are receiving the wrong, we are equally responsible to get it right. We must be proactive. Okay? Alright? Any questions? With that in mind, let's go to initiating friendships, okay? Some reasons why people would avoid initiating, some of the things are there, I'll just go through, okay? Okay, why we avoid initiating friendships? Now, some of these are what we call naturalistic observations that people have made over the years, that why people reject, okay? Why people don't want to initiate friendships. Like they go into a camp, you know, kind of just, you know how, just sit at one corner and look nice. And then after finish, they just walk out. And then they say the church is not friendly. Why we avoid initiating friendship? Number one, the fear of rejection. Whenever we attempt to start a friendship, then we are ignored. We feel wounded and unworthy. Okay? Rejection hurts and causes us to build up a defense against trying again. I know of people who, you go to every church, you say, "The church is not friendly, church not friendly, church not friendly, church not friendly." You know what the Bible says? If you want friends, you have to initiate. Hi! All it does, hi! You will find that the person is very friendly if you just initiate. Okay? So, many times, we don't initiate friendship because we are afraid of being rejected. Okay? If we hide behind the defensive wall, we deny ourselves the pleasure and joy of future friendships. Okay, this is the context of soul winning. In soul winning, you will be rejected. But you know what? You make many friends. Okay, in terms of winning them for Christ, but if you initiate that, you actually make a lot of friends. I have friends all over. Friend, chicken rice store is man, my friend. anywhere. You know what? People downstairs, you just talk to anyone in the lift. Just by asking concerned question, I always use this in the lift. "Hey, you just came back from work." I say, "Yeah, you know, about 10 o'clock in the night already." And so, you know, this kind of things just make friends, you know. It's an acquaintance. But, you know, over time, you can actually graduate to friends. Okay, number one. Number two, shyness secludes a person from meaningful friendship, okay? How? By avoiding social context, by fearing self-revelation. Some people just want to tell about themselves. Are you in that category? I always very quiet, don't tell people about myself. Some people even make a conscious decision, "I'm just going to keep quiet when I go to church." How? That is against the principles of fellowship. God's fellowship. You know, we are supposed to be willing to share with one another, okay? You know what? Avoiding social contact. I know some people come to church and just sit at one corner. Just say one corner. And hopefully no one will talk to me. You know what we need to do? We need to shake hands time. Maybe I challenge you, change your seats. Okay, not only when it's cold or you're very hot. But you know, you get up and just welcome. I know it's a bit tight here. Some people just choose to stay because it's a bit hard to move around. But you know, we need to actually don't avoid social contacts. By the way, God made us social beings. God didn't make us islands. God didn't make us islands. You know islands? You know, when I was a choir in my secondary school, we sang so, "No man is an island. No man stands alone." And that's not even a Christian song. By the way, we need one another. Children, don't you ever think, "I don't need you, Dad." Okay, lor. Then who's going to pay your bills? We need one another. We need one another. That's why God put us in the church, okay? What's the effects of shyness? What's going to happen is that you'll be lonely. But that goes without saying. You know what? The more you keep to yourself, another problem that you may have is more doubts about who you are, self-worth. And in extreme situations, people go into anxiety and they may even have discouragement and they go into depression. Can I say this? If you are one of those people who don't like to touch, don't like to get involved with people, you know your high chance, when you get into problems in life, you find that initially it was just a personality thing. Do you realize that becomes a very big medical hindrance if you're unwilling to initiate, if you are into depression already? The devil, can I say this? This is one of the strategies of the devil to destroy a person. Because the only feedback you get is what comes into your mind. And if you're a person who don't read God's word, you don't have God's feedback about who you are. Okay? And the more you avoid, what's going to happen is you just naturally get lonely and to the point of depression. Okay? To the point of depression. Okay? Two medicine for shyness. Let's turn to Matthew 25. To realize, okay, two medicine or two answers to us feeling shy. Remember that God has created everyone with valuable qualities. 25 and verse, chapter 25 and verse number 15. Okay? It's a parable of the talents, but notice what God says. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability." You know what does that tell us? Everyone has abilities. And that's why within a local church, I've heard people say before, I'm not very famous in a church. I mean, this person is just trying to express himself. We were in different tracting groups last time. And so I was with this particular group. This guy who joined us. And then this tracting group, they're just trying to get to know him and ask him. And say, "Hey, how come you leave?" He left the other tracting group to join this tracting group. And he says, "Oh, in the other group, I'm not very famous." And it's, I mean, we're all trying to control our laughter. But you know, remember, every one of us are special in the sight of God. Do you realize one thing? Even the lame, even the blind, even the deaf, God says, "I created them." Okay? Even those people who have Down syndrome, they're special in the sight of God. You know why the world despises them and put them aside? Because they don't contribute to the society economically, unfortunately. Right? So these people require a lot of help. But Jesus Christ died for them. Amen? He died for them as well. Alright? And so, many times the world looks at us from a different perspective, whereby, "Oh, because you're not so economically, you can contribute, and therefore you're not as important." May God's church never have that kind of thinking. Remember, even as you come, listen, you may feel inferior. It doesn't make you. You know why? That's just your sinful feeling. God made us all special. Alright, do you need any scriptural proof for that? Who can give me a scriptural proof for that? A Bible evidence? Psalm 139, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." The word "fearfully and wonderfully made" The word fearfully means God with every individual. The word fearfully means as if you're doing art and craft. Okay? Last time when I like many years ago, you know, I built those ethics models. You know those ethics models? Those plastic, they come in pieces, all the different parts of the aeroplane model. Then you actually have to use pen knife to carefully cut it. And then you use super glue, you stick it. And in the end, it becomes a fighter jet. Or some people even do like aircraft carrier, very big. And literally hundreds of pieces. The word fearfully means God carefully made us. God made the color of Uncle Roland's eyes. Okay? God made the eyebrows or whatever that type of it. God made you a Filipino. There's nothing shy about being a Filipino. God made you be at least good cook. Yeah? See? Still has a smile? God made Gil. God made Joycin. God made Uncle Tae Leong. You know? God made me. If there's nothing that will encourage you, can I encourage you one thing? There's no two Jacobs in this world. There may be the name, but you can't find two Jacobs in this world. Amen? No one say amen. Come on, guys. There's only one Jacob. Amen? Only one. And in the mind of God, when Jesus Christ died, I died for Jacob. That's why salvation has to be individually received. That's why we're all special. There's only one Timothy Lee, one Timothy Toriano. Only one. Limited edition. Only one. Not to be reproduced. You know, you know what that tells us? When God created us, every single one was His unique creation. And we know that when people individually handmade certain art and craft items, they're generally more expensive, right? Than doing in the factory, right? Think about that. You know, guys, you guys are priceless. Because you cost the life of the infinite God. Think about that. Okay? So every one of us are special. Okay? Just meditate on that. Right? The second antidote for shyness is, what I find here, Galatians 5:13. We have a responsibility to give our lives to others. Okay, we are to serve. Galatians 5:13, which is our verse, the Bible says, by love serve one another. Okay, by agape, by unconditional love, make sure you be a servant to someone else. Okay, Galatians 5:13. Okay, recognize we have a responsibility to God to give others our lives to other people. Alright, in service. Okay, any questions? Okay, firstly, the fear of rejection. Secondly, shyness. Thirdly, our prejudice. Prejudice will stop us from initiating friendship, especially in teens. Teenager. You see, in school, and say, hey, that person's so fat, I don't want to be friends with him. Oh, the person's hair so short, I don't want. Have you noticed that teenagers, your friends, are already their hair? Some, when they get together, they're all the hairstyle the same one, and they think they're unique. All of them must wear a certain t-shirt, like, you know. And kind of like get together. But you know, if that guy is the challenge is that you know, when those people get together, you know why they have to get together? You know what? Sorry? What?
Unity is strength.
Unity is strength, yeah? And can I say this? For teenagers, the reason why you actually have to conform, or rather you feel the need to be like someone else, it's because we have not found who you are in Christ. Because if you truly understood yourself who you are in Christ, when someone does what is wrong, or you don't have to follow the trends of this world. You know why we follow the trends of this world? We want to feel belonged. Think about that. We want to feel that we belong to a group. It's very hard for us to be solo. Not many people can go solo. Even if they, you know what they do when they go solo? They be very quiet. You know why? And they will move towards people who are a bit quiet. Then they start to talking. Right? Prejudice.
My mom is smiling, I don't know why.
But it's interesting, isn't it? When you look at the behavior of people, friendships are initiated many times because I have a common understanding. Like yesterday, Tenzi and Siyang, when they got married, you know, what brought them together? Huh? Basketball. Basketball was a starting point, and after that, of course, there were a lot of problems. But when they began to find Christ, they realized that Christ was the center of their, supposed to be center of their marriage, you know? So, prejudice. We seek friends who are similar to ourselves or to associate with them, and we often reject the intrusion of someone different. Notice, but Jesus mixed with all sorts of people, tax collectors, fishermen, and zealots, okay? Generally, we will gravitate towards people of similar age, interest, intellectual background, and spiritual background. Generally, alright? But you know, we need to be a friend that will not be, we won't have any prejudice. Anyone can be our friend. Anyone can be your friend, and that's very important. Okay, any questions on that? Any thoughts? Yes, let's move on. Next one is poor self-image. Okay. Poor self-image. In the modern day psychological thinking right now, there's a thing called self-esteem. You've heard of that, right? Self-esteem is how you think about yourself. You realize that's not important? It's what God thinks of you. Can I say self-esteem? Some people may disagree with me. You cannot find self-esteem in the Bible. It's a psychological construct constructed by the world to say, you are in charge of your own life. What's wrong with you? It's because of lowered self-esteem. You need to build up people's self-esteem so that they can be confident of themselves. Did you hear Satan? You see, you know how you get confidence? When you serve God and you're obedient to God and you're right in God's will, you are bold as lions. The righteous man is as bold as lions. That's what the book of Proverbs tell us. But you know, in this world, you know why we feel lousy about ourselves? Do you realize, think it clearly. When someone feels lousy about themselves and a poor self-image, you know what that is? It's actually pride. You know? Huh? But I feel lousy about myself. I'm not proud of myself. Yes, it is. You know why? You try and draw attention to yourself to build you up. Any questions? God wants us to put our confidence in Him. That's why even John Bunyan wasn't very rich. In fact, he was just a shoemaker. He repairs shoes. John Bunyan, you know John Bunyan? John Bunyan is one of the most popular Baptist preacher in England. He was just a tinker of Bedford. He just repairs shoes. But you know what? God used him mightily. Because his confidence was totally in God, not in himself. There are many Christians, you know, I thank God our church is kind of middle class, you know, we take care of people all over. And you know what? That's what God's church should be, taking care of people, taking care of one another. And I'm praying that every one of us will never even look down on anyone that will come in. Because that's God's will. Jesus accepts everyone, and so must we. But you know, as friends, sometimes I've had people who come and says, there was one guy who came. I know in America, what happens is that everyone comes to church in suit and tie, okay. And when I was wearing something like this to church, the pastor was saying, "You should be in suit and tie." I was looking at him. Okay, my first brush with Christian culture of America. All right, you don't have to come to this, in church in suit and tie. All right, it's cultural, right? You don't want to break the culture unnecessarily. But you know, when I was there, it's like, okay, and then I put on something, my mom was saying, "Wow, you wear suit and tie to church, huh?" You know, after a while, I begin to realize, we're conforming to God's standards or we conform to man's standards. We need to be careful. So what if someone comes to church and we don't know his background, he comes to church with a jeans that's torn, slippers, and just a t-shirt. Are we going to look down on him? We must never. In fact, what we need to do, if we found, oh, he's poor, you know what we need to do as a church? See, we can, we got brand new VBS t-shirts. You can give some. Or some may, I've known of people who actually just bought a few dresses or blouses just for the little girl that come that doesn't have much. Just find pastor so that they can actually wear something nice to church to encourage them. Does that make sense? Okay? So, many people are lonely because they feel that no one could be interested in them. Okay, some lack of confidence may be due to four things. And number one, critical negative parents. In other words, they are brought up with negativity, but their parents are lousy, stupid, good for nothing, and etc. Alright? Even though one girl who came to KK Hospital many, many years ago, I think about 15 years ago, 95% is not good enough. 95 upon 100 is not good enough. You know why she came? She's in primary 4. She came because mommy had a problem. The girl doesn't want to take her exams. Who's the problem? The girl? The mom. You know, of course, the therapist, we have to kind of how to bring it across and all that. The obvious problem was the child was just retaliating. 95 is not good enough. What do you want me to do? Okay? We need to be very careful. Critical, negative prayer, number 2. Number 2, rejection by friends. Alright? That's why. No, Jesus is a friend of sinners. Amen? He befriends friends. He befriends sinners. That's what we need to do too. Number 3, false thinking patterns. Let's turn to Proverbs 23, verse 7. Please stop me, alright? I know I'm just zipping through. To me, I know it's very clear, but I want us to be clear in our minds what this happens to. Proverbs 23, and verse 7. The Bible says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You realize one thing? You are who you think you are. You are who you think you are. If you think you're Superman, you jump off. There was one boy, 4 years old, who thinks he's Superman. So parents, please be careful what you expose your young children to. And she jumped out the 4th floor window and died. Because he thinks he's Superman. Okay? Alright? And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And sometimes we keep thinking, oh, my friend don't like me. He's always like that one, you know. You know, that can be false. And generally, it is false. Because get this, when you say this about people, you are, or the person is always like that, it's generally a lie. Because he's not always like that one. Does that make sense? Okay, it's why when we're angry, we say things like that. You know what? Can I say this? As parents, when you say things about your children, it's negative. It actually, because they have no other comparison, they will just take you as a standard. And if you say, I'm stupid, I am stupid. I've seen that hurt so many children. I'm not saying you go around there and say, oh, you're nice and wonderful, you're the most wonderful lady in the world. I'm not saying you go and praise your children wrongly. But you know what? Just praise him for what it. Well done, you know. I know you study until you fell asleep. Okay. Don't if a child study until you fall asleep, don't scold him or scold her. Unless you just wake up. Like after a 10-hour sleep, and then you want to go and sleep again. That's lazy, that's different. But you know, if your daughter or your son is working very hard, encourage the person and say, well, I think you need to rest a bit, you know. Take some drink or whatever. Wash your face. Encourage the person rather than, okay? False thinking patterns, because when you drum that into your child, it actually, that's why a lot of the characteristic traits of children come out at teenage years, because of what has been drummed into them. Unfair comparisons with others. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Paul says this. Those in FBI have heard this, but I'll say it again over here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Okay, do you realize that all of us do you know that we cannot compare with one another? All of us cannot compare with one another unless we actually make very clear variable. For example, let's say if 2 persons get saved on the same day, okay, then we can measure their spiritual growth maybe 1 year later. 1 person is serving the Lord, the other one is gone back to the world. Then we can measure. But you know, all of us are unfair. We cannot compare with one another. I cannot compare Uncle Roland. Do you realize when he was younger, he looked better than me. But he was involved in a lot more enterprises and things that he can tell you. He was involved in Japan and stuff like that. There are a lot of things. You know him better. I was just busy playing soccer. And my sister Mars comes from a different cultural background, you know. Brother June, from a different type of family structure. Joshua comes from a family background. Mike, Sir Joy, Sir Wichen, my wife. We're all from different. So we cannot actually compare ourselves. But you know what we tend to do? We compare ourselves. You know, we cannot even compare academic results. Because the world wants to compare. But you cannot. You know why? We are all of different intellectual ability. Okay? Like myself, I'm probably lower than you. My IQ, I know it's about 92, 93. Some of you are 160 or something like that. Alright? Okay. But then, thank God. And my comfort I have is that was measured when I was 16, 17 years old. Alright? We're all of different intellectual abilities. You know, a person who comes to Singapore, maybe our brethren from the Philippines will come to Singapore because of the language, they may not be. But you know, you go back to their country, they're taught. And we go there, it's like, you know, we cannot compare. That's why in the church, we are not to compare one another. In fact, when we compare one another, Bible says, Paul says, we are not wise. And when we compare, we bring out another person. Okay? So, this is one of the reasons why people feel lousy about themselves. So how to overcome the loneliness? Realize that God created each of us for a unique reason. And everyone can make a valuable contribution to the life of another person. On Friday, we had a sharing, or Sister Jamie was sharing about how a little girl gave something to her, just gave something to her, and it really, really encouraged her. And she didn't realize, you know, adults give you, you will think of something, well, okay, like, okay. Because the little girl actually gave money to her, because, you know, Sister Jamie is a freelance now, you know, income not so stable. But you know what? Sister Jamie was very touched by this little girl. Okay, even a little child, even a little child who don't know anything can actually affect someone. But no, we who have the love of God, we need to do things to affect someone else. Okay? Any questions? Okay, tell what, let me just finish this how to. Well, actually it's quite a lot. Okay, but any questions? Maybe we'll stop here, right? I think how to make friends will be quite important, so we'll take a little bit longer. Next week we'll try to finish this whole thing. Okay? And next week we'll have a bit of case study as well. Okay? What you do when you're offended. And what you do when you are the offender. And then let's see whether our thinking square with scripture, okay? Any questions on friendships? Okay? Remember, friendships are important to God. And remember to be proactive. It is our responsibility personally, when we are offended or we are the offender, to actually go and make it right. Okay? That's what God says, and we follow what He says. Alright? Okay? Any questions? Any questions? Okay, if not, let's just close in a word of prayer. And then next week we'll finish this. Lord, thank you that from Thy Word we can see some of the principles. We know, Lord, we also took some from some experiences of people. But God, I believe, Lord, that Thy Word shows us the way. And we pray, Father, that You teach us to be the type of friends that we need to be. God, in Thy Word we find principles, Lord, by which we can live our friendship lives. I pray for every young person that, God, they will not make the mistake of making friends with the wrong person. As much as we love everyone, Father, I pray that You help them to make wise decisions regarding their friends. And I pray for a close relationship between them and their parents, so that, Lord, regardless of anything that has happened, they can always go back to their mom and dad and ask counsel, as friends will ask advice of one another. That, Father, their lives and their relationships will be strong. Father, I pray that Ambassador Baptist Church will be filled with friends, genuine friends, close friends, based on the blood of Christ, and also more than anything, Lord, that we can, through our friendship, lead someone else to Christ, which is the greatest present, Lord, that we can give to a friend. Lord, thank You for what You're going to do. Bless the service to follow as we understand the three D's of love. Help us to be the type of brother, sister that we need to be, so that, Ambassador, we will grow close to You firstly and to one another, that the world may know we belong to You. We thank You. Bless the fellowship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we've got 20 minutes. Okay, keep your this one, all right? And we'll bring it next week.